everyone. So we're going to carry on by looking into God's word, and then we'll carry on praying. 1 Corinthians 4:2, that's our main text tonight, and I want us to read it together. It's a very short one. If I can have it in New King James Version, please. 1 Corinthians 4:2. So if we can all read it together after two, one, two, go. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. So it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. So what we're looking at tonight is that God requires of you and God requires of me faithfulness. It's required in stewards that one be found faithful. The three words in that sentence, very short sentence, but the three words that are really important are the required, the steward, and the faithful. And when you look at the word required, it means different dictionary definitions, but one of them says officially compulsory. So when something is required, it's not voluntary. It's not, well, if I feel like it. Now, the Bible says it's required that stewards be found faithful. Some versions talk about someone who's been entrusted with something. Faithfulness is required. Now, a steward, we all know what a steward is. A steward is someone who's responsible for or manages or looks after normally another person's property. So a steward has something entrusted to them. And then faithfulness talks about commitment. It talks about loyalty. It talks about steadfastness. So faithfulness is essential. And tonight, we just want to remind ourselves, I believe God wants us to be reminded that faithfulness is essential. A lot of the prayers that we've prayed, the persecution that we talked about, it all boils down to faithfulness. When the challenges come, would you be faithful? Would I be faithful? So to be faithful, there has to be something that I'm faithful about. So there has to be something that has been entrusted into my care. So the first thing that we need to recognize, every single one of us, is that we are stewards. God has entrusted various things into our lives. There are various things that you're a caretaker of, whether you choose to recognize it or not. And then for you to be faithful in those things, you need to recognize what it is that you're a steward of. I can't be faithful about something that I don't know that I have. So for instance, Acts chapter 3, we're not going to read it, but we all probably know the story. In Acts chapter 3, when Peter and John were going to the temple, and at the beautiful gate, there was this man there. He was lame and he was begging for alms. And Peter looks at him and says, silver or gold I don't have. But then he says something. He says, but what I have, I would give unto you. And he goes and he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he pulls him up. Now, Peter knew that he was a carrier of the power of God. Do you know it's possible for Peter? So we've been talking about Pentecost, Acts 2. It's possible for Peter to be filled with the Holy Spirit, be a carrier of God's power, and yet never do anything with it because he didn't recognize what he carried. But Peter recognized what he carried. And I'm thinking about that Acts 3. And I'm thinking, why do we not hear stories like that? You know, a Christian, you see somebody, or somebody even says to you, my sister has cancer. And you know, you say, you know what? What I have, I'll give to you. I'm going to pray your brother is going to be healed. Do we recognize what we have? Now, Peter didn't say, I'm going to pray for you. You might walk, you might not walk. God's will be done. He knew what he carried, and he knew that when he said to this guy, for you to grab a lame person and pull them up, you know that person is going to walk. So he recognized what he was a steward of. I pray that God would open your eyes and my eyes to see what it is that we're a steward of. So Peter was a steward of God's glory, and he recognized it. So we need to recognize what we're stewards of. Different things for different person. Your life itself, the Bible says that you've been bought with a price. You're a steward of your life. It's not yours to do as you please. And we need to be faithful. One thing that I'm going to encourage us to do, you know, sometimes we hear these things and we think about them in our minds. Don't think about them. Take some time out this weekend before Monday starts again and start to write the things that you believe God has entrusted into your hands. It might be a project, it might be a gift, it might be a talent, it might be something that God has been impressing on your mind. Write it down. Habakkuk 2 talks about the power of writing something down. So write it down prayerfully and ask God to open your eyes to those things that he's entrusted into your hands. Because if you do not recognize them, you can't steward them. You can't be faithful with them. And the other thing, you know, there's, I believe it was Miles Monroe that said, if a purpose of a thing is not known, then abuse is inevitable, right? So, but you know that if you don't recognize what has been entrusted into your hand and you do nothing with it, that is abuse as well. An example that we see is in the parable of the talents, Matthew 25, 14 to 30. We're not going to read it. But those servants, one got 10, one got 5, one got 1. The one that got 10 went and used it. The 5 went and used it. The guy with 1, he went and he dug it, buried it. He didn't use it. But it was abuse. And it was a grave consequence for him at the end of the day. So if God has entrusted something into your hands, he hasn't entrusted it into your hands, into your life, for you to just have it and do nothing with it. And if you do nothing with it, if you are not faithful, because faithfulness is required, there are consequences. I pray for myself and I pray for you that God would help us to be faithful in Jesus' name. In preparing for this, I prayed quite a bit for myself because I thought of so many areas where I'm not being faithful. And it's like, God, have mercy on me. But I pray that this word would stir up something in every single one of us as well, that we would go back determined by God's grace to be faithful in Jesus' name. So faithfulness. You know, recently, the boys and I think it was this week or last week, we were talking about David. You know, when David, when Goliath was mocking the soldiers and David comes along and he says he'll go and he tries on Saul's armor and he couldn't wear it. And then he says to Saul, you know, because Saul is like, I mean, you're young. This guy, since he was a youth, he's been a soldier. You can't face this guy. And then David says in 1 Samuel 17, we'll read that. 1 Samuel 17, verses 34 to 36. 1 Samuel 17, verses 34 to 36. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defiled the armies of the living God. For some reason, when we're talking about it, the boys and I, this passage jumped out to me in a way it hadn't before. And I really thought about it. You're a shepherd. You're shepherding sheep, right? And a lion comes. And he's not saying, I try to shoo the lion away. He's like, the lion takes a lamb. I go after a lion, real raw lion. And I pull its mouth and I take and I rescue the sheep. And all I was thinking is, who does that? As in, who does that? And the answer that I got is a faithful shepherd. Now, if the lion came and took your baby son or your baby daughter, I can understand running after it and you're ready to die. But for sheep, but a faithful shepherd. And what that said to me is that it's not about what it is that has been entrusted to you. You might think it's something very little, very trivial. It's not about the thing. It's about the fact that it has been entrusted to you. So whether it's something that looks so tiny or something massive, faithfulness is required. So whether they've put you in children's church to be teaching, and as I'm saying all these things, I'm talking to myself too, and God will help me, pray for me. So whether they put you in children's church to be teaching the 3 years old, or you're in some big crusade talking to thousands, and you think of the thousands, I'll prepare for 3 months, I'll pray, but with the children, you say 3 year olds, what do they know? I'll just wing it and show up on Sunday morning. Faithfulness is required. I pray that God would help us be faithful. So it's not about the thing, it's about the fact that it's been entrusted to you. If you're not faithful in the little, you will not be faithful in much. The Bible says it, that's not me. If you're not faithful in little, some people say, I can't be generous right now. I can't give. I can't be faithful with my finances when it comes to giving. I can't pay my tithes because God knows, God understands. The little that I get, it's not enough. But when I start to earn 100K, in fact, in church, they will know that there's a giver in that church. It's not going to happen. If you're not faithful in the little, forget it. You won't be faithful in the big. I pray that God would help us. Some people think, oh, I can't talk to my colleagues. We've been talking about sharing and persecution. Because yes, when you're doing the right thing, persecution's going to come. And you think, I can't talk to my colleagues, or I can't talk to that person in my class about God. But when God launches me into that ministry, I know he's going to launch me into, I'm just going to be all out. If you can't be faithful in the little, the classmate that year one, year two, year three, you're going to the labs together, doing everything together, doesn't even know you're a Christian, you're not going to be faithful in the big. So we have to be faithful in the little. It has to start with the little things. Little things like your words, the words that you speak. Now, even the words that we speak have been entrusted to us. Why do I say that? The Bible says that the power of life and death are in what you say, in what I say. It's an entrustment. So how do you use your words? Are you killing people, or are you encouraging people? Or is it that every time your words are life, it's when you're declaring and decreeing concerning yourself and your family? It's been entrusted to you. Your words can change the situation in your community. Your words can change the situation in the life of a colleague. What are you doing? And that's why the Bible says that for every idle word, man would give an account. We're going to give an account for every idle word. Why? Because every single word that you speak carries life or death. And it's something that's been entrusted to you. So we need to be faithful. Proverbs 11:13. It's one that I really, really like this verse. Proverbs 11:13. It says, a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. So somebody entrusts a matter to you, comes to discuss something to you in confidence. That's something that's been entrusted to you. So even being faithful in that, God says you have a faithful spirit. I pray that in the things that we think are little and in the big things that we'll be faithful in Jesus' name. The other thing to note is if you're not faithful in the little, you might not have a chance to be faithful in the big. So if you're not faithful in the little things, the odds that you would get launched into the big things are very slim by God. Luke 16, verses 10 to 11. Luke 16, 10 to 11. It says, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Then verse 11 says, therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who would commit to your trust the true riches? So if you're not faithful where God has placed you now, you might not get to move to that higher level that you're praying for. So we can be praying, Lord, launch me out. Lord, take me to a higher level. Take me to this and that. And God is looking at you and say, be faithful where you're at now. I might be praying, God, give me the grace to do this and this and that. And God is like, the grace that I have given you right now, what are you doing with it? You know, the Bible talks about how Paul said that God's grace in his life was not in vain. So God's grace can be upon a person's life and it's in vain. Why? They're not using it. So where you're at, what are you doing? The things that he has entrusted with you right now, what are you doing? The relationships that you have. And God is just nudging you and nudging you and waiting for you to say something about him to that person, to that guy. What are you doing? And there's sad stories where, you know, somebody is here today and we think young person will be here forever. And then you hear that, do you know this person is dead now? I've mentioned this before. One of the guys that I did my PhD with, young guy, dead. So you don't know. You meet with a person. You get to talk to a person. God opens a door. We've said that one of the words God has given us in this church this year is that it's a year of open doors. And a lot of the time when we're thinking open doors, we're thinking bigger job, more money, this and that. And God might be thinking the open door is that you open your mouth and people are going to get healed. You open your mouth, people are going to come and know me, what he's entrusted into you. I pray that God would help us to have eyes that see and ears that hear in Jesus' name. So if you're not faithful in the little, you might not get a chance to be faithful in the much. Think about Daniel. We all know the story of Daniel. Daniel chapter 1, verses 8 says he proposed in his heart. Everybody else was eating the king's delicacies. But Daniel and his friends, they proposed in their hearts. They said, well, we're not going to defile ourselves. And that led to them being 10 times better than all the others. And that led to one thing after the other. Now, I wonder if they hadn't made that first decision, in that seemingly little decision, things might have panned out differently. Think about Joseph in Potiphar's house. Joseph had suffered. It wasn't fair. What did Joseph do? Just because he had some dreams and they sold him and he was in slavery, And then things are looking up. And then he's in Potiphar's house. And Potiphar's wife says, just do this little thing with me. Nobody's going to know. Now, if Joseph had done it, do you know that Joseph's story would have been different? Totally different. But he was faithful. I pray that God would find us faithful in Jesus' name. Also, we need to realize that being a steward is a privilege. It's a privilege. Don't abuse it. Remember, you can't hold God to ransom and say, I'm just going to sit on this thing. I'm not going to do it. Examples of people who didn't realize what was entrusted to them was a privilege and abused it. Saul, King Saul. Saul had an instruction from God. That instruction was something that as king was entrusted to him. But Saul wasn't faithful. And that changed his whole story. Saul had so much potential. The first king ever of Israel. And yet, one or two little tiny weeny decisions. Is the prophet coming? He's not coming. He's taking time. Let me just do the sacrifice. Normally, sacrificing to God is not a bad thing. Destroy everybody. Let me just keep a little. Faithful in the little. But that changed Saul's destiny. I pray that God would help us, that we'll be faithful in everything God has entrusted into our hands. Another set of people that we know who were unfaithful, Hophni and Phinehas, the sons of Eli, they were entrusted with a priesthood and they were so unfaithful. And they thought they could just live as they like, do whatever they like and get away with it. But grave consequences. The Bible says faithfulness is required. It's mandatory. So when we're not faithful, there are consequences. I pray that none of us would be found unfaithful in Jesus' name. Hophni and Phinehas, their end was terrible because of unfaithfulness. Eli, unfortunately as well, 1 Samuel 2:35. 1 Samuel 2:35, that's when God is speaking to Eli and saying, I'm going to raise for myself a faithful priest because of his children and how he didn't correct them. He was found unfaithful. So what has been entrusted into your hands? And like I said, I really want to encourage us to take time out. Just take some time out and think about it. Write it down. Pray about it and say, Father, what have you entrusted into my hands? And one thing that I thought of clearly as I was looking at this is that if I don't recognize what has been entrusted into my hands and I just have a mishmash of so much, if I'm busy being so faithful at things that God has not sent me to do, I can be so busy with those things that the things that I am supposed to be doing, I can't do because I filled my life with stuff God didn't send me to. But if God can open my eyes, open your eyes to see that, look, these are the things in this season, this is your focus. And then we have the hearts, the obedient hearts to do as he's bidding us. Then we would be faithful. But if you're trying to do everything, God has not called anyone to do everything, then there's no way that you can be faithful. So I pray that God would help us, that for those of us that might discover that there are things that we're focusing on that God hasn't sent us, that God would help us to detangle from those things and focus on the things that he's asked us to do. So what are the things that have been entrusted into your hands? Different things for different people, but there's some things that are common to all of us. One of the areas and the things that we need to be faithful in is in the place of preparation. In the place of preparation, are you being faithful? And analogies of preparation, for instance, this might not be a popular analogy. Maybe I should use the other two. I was going to use the student analogy, but because it's exam season, I don't want to discourage anyone. So let's use the other two analogies. But good success. Let's prepare well, and God would help us, right? Okay, a farmer. So a farmer is expecting the rain. When the rain comes, the farmer expects that they would have crops, right? Now, a farmer who says, I'm going to wait, and once it starts raining, I'm going to run to the farm, and I'm going to start plowing, and I'm going to quickly start to put my seed in, that's a foolish farmer. By then, it's too late, right? So the farmer prepares. He plows his land. He puts the seed in so that when the rain comes, it's ready. That's a farmer. A soldier, imagine a soldier or a battalion who they don't prepare. They're like, when the enemy comes, we'll quickly hit the gym, and we'll start to pump, and we'll you know, be ready. And the enemy's coming and said, enemy's coming. And that's when they're running. And they're like, ah, we're not as fit as we thought. So obviously, they're going to lose the war. But they prepare, they prepare, they prepare. Sometimes soldiers prepare and they never go to war. But they're prepared because if war comes, if the enemy comes, they need to be ready. So the same way with us, It's not when persecution comes that I should now start to skabash and pray and say, God, encourage me. God, strengthen me. I should be praying now so that when these things come, I'm prepared, I'm ready. When the Bible says we should put on the whole armor of God, it's not when the enemy is already knocking and bashing your head and then you say, oh, where's my helmet? Where's my... No, we have to prepare beforehand. I think about the 10 virgins in Matthew 25. Those 10 virgins in Matthew 25, and we all know we're in the end times, right? I look at those 10 virgins. All 10, they were virgins. The Bible says 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. And I think what was different, it's a passage that I read a lot, but what was different with these guys? The Bible said they all had lamps and they all had oil. At some point, all their lamps were burning, if you read the passage. When the bridegroom was, I think King James says tarrying, I was going to say delaying, but let me use the correct phrase. So when the bridegroom tarried, when it seemed like he was taking a while, all 10 slept. It wasn't just the foolish. The 5 wise, they slept as well. They were all snoring. Everybody slept. And when the alarm sounded, when they said the bridegroom is coming, it wasn't only the wise that heard. The foolish heard as well. All 10 heard. And everybody got up quickly. But then there was something that was different. The wise, they had extra oil. The foolish didn't. That extra oil, they didn't get it after they heard. They had already prepared from the start. They had the extra. So when the foolish now said, give us some, they said no. So that there's going to come a situation where it's not enough. So my relationship with God, the assignments God has given me in the place of prayer, in the place of studying the word, in my relationships, preparation is so key. Preparation is so key. And God is calling us to be faithful in the place of preparation. Maybe God has told you that in your career, this is where I'm taking you to. You can't sit back and do nothing. What do you need to get where God has said you would get to? Start to prepare. Start to do those things. Be the farmer who is plowing. Maybe you know that God has, the Holy Spirit has given you a particular gift. Start to stir that gift up. Timothy had a gift, but he didn't sit on it. Paul said, stir it up. Use it. God is calling us to a place of preparation. I pray that none of us would fail God in Jesus' name. So are you being faithful in your use of time? The time that you have, your time is not yours. And time, you can't get it back. In your time, are you being faithful? How are you spending your time? Should I get a bit personal with some people? Are you spending all your time on social media, watching TV? You know, things that do, they add nothing to your life. And the things that can add to your life, you're neglecting. We need to be faithful with our time. And that goes both to old and young. It's everybody that does this. In fact, I was reading some survey recently, and they said it's kind of like the older people that are into Facebook and all, the younger ones have moved on to other things. So everybody's guilty. But how are you spending your time? The gifts, the talents God has given you, how are you spending them? Your life, how are you spending them? You know, someone said, I think it was Sister Over that said recently, that life is not a dress rehearsal. You know, you can't live life saying, one day, when I this, when I that. Your life is ticking by right now. How are you spending it? I pray that God helps us to be faithful. The open doors, the opportunity God's bringing your way, are you being faithful? As a parent to your children, as a spouse to your spouse, faithlessness is not just adultery. For instance, women, we've been called to be helpmates. How are you doing as a helpmate? God will help us all in Jesus' name. As a Christian citizen, how are you doing? It's very easy, very easy. In fact, if I said, let's pass the mic round and let's start to slag the leaders and the parties from Labour to Conservative, we could be here for another 24 hours. But when last did you pray for any of them? As a Christian citizen, we have to be different. Life and death in the power of what you say. On your knees, you can change things for this nation, and in a good way. You know, sometimes when people are called to pray, you know, we're very, you're not sure if people are praying or not. But then when they say, oh, all the enemies of your progress and this and that, and their voices just start to shout. It shouldn't be like that. Let life come out, you know, as well. In the community, what are we doing? As Christians, what are we doing? Are we speaking life over our community? You know, somebody said years ago, and I never forgot this, we were having a workers' retreat. And she said, I think I'm quoting her right, but she said something like, God had spoken to her about how she needed to pray for each Sunday service before showing up. And she found that when she started to pray for the Sunday service before coming, that it changed her experience of Sunday service. She was faithful in that. And when she came to church, she always had an encounter with God. Now, it's very easy for us to grumble about things, to be unhappy about things, even in the workplace. But have you prayed about it? Have you decreed something positive about it? How faithful are you being? With the money and the substance that God has entrusted you with, you know, we all say, oh, my money, my this, my car, my that. But it's not really yours, you know. You're a steward of these things. How are you doing with it? If God says, give, brother, this, that, would you do it? If God says to you tonight, right now, as you're saying, God, speak to me. God speaks to you and says, give your car to so-and-so. Would you do it? How tightly are you holding these things? It's not yours. God has entrusted it to you. I pray that God would help us to be faithful. And I think most importantly, as a child of God, are you being faithful in your relationship with God? How's that going? Are you being faithful for your relationship with God? The psalmist said, early in the morning, I would rise up and seek you. And as I talk to you, I'm talking to myself too. How faithful are we being? How faithful? James, the Bible says, if we draw near to God, he would draw near to me. Are you drawing near to God, or is it a Sunday thing? I pray that God would help us. You know, we're looking at Matthew the other time about how we're to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. How's that going for you? Are you seeking first career, everything else? I pray that God would help us to be faithful. Now, the very verse that we used right at the start that said it's required of a steward to be faithful, the context was what's really dear to God's heart. Soul winning, sharing about Jesus, people coming to know God. Are you being faithful in that? If, and I think it's a scary thought if we look at it this way. Now, what God is passionate about, as much as God loves you, God is not passionate about you getting a six-figure salary. God is passionate about people not going to hell. And you look through the Bible, Paul never knelt down and said, Father, bless me from my head to my toe. Let the money be dripping out of me. Peter was happy to say, silver or gold, I don't have. I don't need it. What I have. Now, that's what God is passionate about. How are we doing in the area of soul winning? If God were to say today that, fine, I've had it. Every child of mine that is not being faithful in soul winning on earth, tonight, let them just come home because they're not doing what I've put them on earth to do. Tomorrow morning, would we be here? Or would we be back home? I pray that God would help us. This is what God is passionate about. This is what he has asked us to do. He said, you're the light of the earth. You're the salt of the earth. He didn't say you're the money bag of the earth. I pray God would help us. That what is dear to God would become dear to us so that we can be faithful. So when we're faithful in the little things, when we're faithful in each passing moment, when we're faithful in the day-by-day things, what it does is it adds up to a life that fulfills purpose. We all, without a doubt, pray that we would fulfill God's purpose for our lives. And we see that with David. And it's David in Acts 13:36 that the Bible says that after he had fulfilled God's purpose for his life, after that, only after that did he sleep, did he die. David, right from when he was a shepherd and he was just sheep, and to me, and probably to you too, it didn't, looking after sheep doesn't warrant putting your life at risk. But right from that time, he was faithful. And because David was faithful with sheep, God could entrust a nation into his hands. He was faithful in the little, faithful. And at the end of his life, he dies, he goes to be with God, and God looks at him, and God's testimony is, this guy, he's fulfilled my purpose in his generation. And my prayer for you, my prayer for myself, is that at the end of everything, God would look at us and say, we've fulfilled his purpose for us in our generations in Jesus' mighty name. So we're going to rise and we're just going to take a few prayer points from that. If we could rise to our feet. So first of all, you want to thank God for making you a steward. We've said being a steward is a privilege. God did not have to entrust anything into your hands, but he did. So say, Father, I'm grateful that you have entrusted into my hands all the things that you have entrusted into my hands. Say, Father, I'm grateful. Thank you. Thank you for making me a steward. Thank you, Father. And then you want to lift up your voice and say, Father, in every area of these things that you have entrusted into my hands where I'm currently unfaithful, in the past I've been unfaithful, Father, forgive me and help me. Father, show me your mercy and help me that from tonight there would be a change. From tonight I would start to be faithful. You want to pray and say, Father, open my eyes, my spiritual eyes. Open my ears to be able to recognize what you have entrusted into my hands. It's almost the end of May, the fifth month in 2018. The things God has entrusted into your hands for 2018. Are you being faithful? Do you even know these things? Pray that God would open your eyes. For some of us, there are gifts, there are graces, there's a calling upon your life. Things that God has deposited on the inside of you. Are you being faithful or are you sitting on them doing nothing? So pray that God would help you, that you will be faithful, that you would see, you would recognize these things. Pray that God would help you, that the things that he has not entrusted into your hands, that you might be busy chasing, busy doing, that God would help you to recognize and detangle from all such in the name of Jesus, so that you can run the race that he has set before you, so that you're not running another man's race, another woman's race. You know, if all the world stands and applauds us, but God is not applauding, there's a problem. So pray that God would help you, that God would help you to be faithful in his sight, that God would help you to be faithful in his sight. And then you want to pray and say, Father, help me, that at the end of time, at the end of everything, you would say, well done to me. Pray for your children. Let's pray for our brethren that are not here, that even as a church, Amazing Grace, God would help us to be faithful. Let's pray for the church in the UK, the church of God generally in the UK, that God would help us to be faithful. The church globally, the times that we're in, there's attack. And it's only going to get more and more because we're in the end times. Pray that God help me to be faithful. In the place of preparation, help me to be faithful. When opposition comes, help me to be faithful. When persecution comes, help me to be faithful. When I need to stand and say that I'm on the Lord's side, help me not to deny you, Father. Help me to be faithful. Help my children to be faithful. Help my church family members to be faithful. Help Christendom to be faithful, Father. When it's time for the leaders to stand and say, this is what God says, help us not to be ashamed. Help us not to be afraid. Help us not to cry in fear. Help us to be faithful, Father. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be faithful. Everything that you have entrusted into our hands, help us to recognize them and to be faithful with them. As a church on Queen's Road, as a church in Leicester, as a church in the East Midlands, help us to be faithful, Father. Help us to be faithful. Faithfulness is required of us. Help us not to fail you, Father. Help us not to fail you, Father. Help our children not to fail you. Help our young ones not to fail you. Help us to be like Daniel, who was not ashamed to propose in his heart that I'm going to be different. I'm not going to defile myself. It doesn't matter what man thinks. What matters is what God thinks. Father, help us that our lives, Father God, that it would be one in which we're performing for one, just you, the Almighty God. Not for the applause of man, not for what people say is correct or not correct, but just for you, Father. Help us to live our lives for you, Father. Help us to be faithful with our moments and with our days. This breath that you have put in us, Father, help us to be faithful with it in the name of Jesus. Help us to be faithful with it in the name of Jesus. That we'll not chase our own desires, we'll not chase our own whims, but we will be faithful, Father. We would recognize and know your will, and we will be faithful. Father, help us to be faithful. Help us to be faithful. Help every parent to be faithful in bringing up their children in your way, Father. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, that our children would not be lost in the name of Jesus, but our children would grow up to be faithful stewards of all that you've entrusted to them to in the name of Jesus, that the next generation would know you if you tarry, that the next generation will be on fire for you as well, Father, in the name of Jesus. Help us, Father. Help us, Father. Help us, Father. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reminder that faithfulness is required of us. Father, individually and as a family, we want to say thank you for making us stewards. We want to say thank you that we know you. We want to say thank you that you've called us your own. Father, we pray that in every area, in every way that we have been disappointing you, in every way that we have been grieving the Spirit, in every way that we have been quenching your Spirit thus far, Father, we say forgive us in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray that even from this moment that there will be a new dawn in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we pray that in each and every one of our lives, that you would have your way in the name of Jesus. That we'll be a people fully yielded to you. We'll be a people loving you with all our hearts in the name of Jesus. Father, help us. That thing you have entrusted into our hands, the little, the big, no matter what it is, help us to recognize it and help us to be faithful. Father, once again, I pray that this word, it will not stand against any of us. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Our God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. You could be seated, please. IFA, please go to the back. Switch off the recording. Thank you. And we've been blessed today. Hallelujah. Have you been blessed in the house, anybody? And God has spoken to each and every one of us that we should be faithful in the things he's given.